Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is February 2nd. It's a Friday. We have a weekend ahead of us. It's been a crazy week, I have to say. We landed. It's Friday. It happened, and thank God. And it's been, you know, sometimes the pendulum has to swing one way to swing the other way, and you can appreciate both because it's really cool how life works. But life keeps working, that's for sure. And we have a lot of questions for today. So I did have somebody who wrote a question yesterday for Dream Team Thursday. However, it's there's a question in there that I want to answer because it's basically about dreams per se. So it's from Vicky Alexandrius, and it's, "Dear Nadia Khalil, I have had reoccurring dreams for a short period of time of water, not dirty water, but lots of dreams just about water, and I believe my soul was trying to tell me that we are now in the age of Aquarius. What is your interpretation?" Well, the bigger picture might be bigger things that are happening in life or where we're going, but most of our dreams will center around us. And that's the question I wanted to answer, was that when you dream and you think it's about other people or about, you know, the world, and sometimes you'll have visions or something like that of those things. But most dreams, I want to say like almost all dreams we have, they are truly about like people and what we're doing, why we're doing it, what's happening to us. And if you're dreaming a lot about water, and it's just water, it's not doing anything, it's not clean, it's not dirty, it's just water, it's just the flow, that there is a bigger flow. I mean, I know that sounds kind of obvious, but there's something about like seeing water, because it's been here since the beginning of time. So the flow that's happening is like a deeper, longer lasting, you know, forever type feeling. So that means a lot of permanence, you know, comes into our lives in that flow. People who come and will stay, not, you know, just fly by night things happening. And it's a flow. It's a very deep, rooted, seated. We are ourselves mostly water. I know it doesn't look like it. We have bodies and this and that, but without water, we can't survive. So the fact that it's water over and over again, you know, I remember that song, The Age of Aquarius, that just reminded me of, you know, you thinking that, but we don't even need to go that big. We can just bring it down to, you know, whatever's going on in your life, you know, the decisions you're making, they're solid decisions. They will last a long time. So to trust what's going on in your life, because some decisions we make and we think it's forever, and then, you know, a month later, 2 weeks later, a year later, we say, oh, there was just this lesson in it. And sometimes we fight it. We don't want that to be the case, but it is. And you can't help it. Every sign that can possibly come that tells you this is not okay, we ignore sometimes when we think we really want something, or when we sometimes don't know why we want it, or we're responding to it for reasons that aren't that healthy. So just know that whatever's going on now, it's true, it's solid, it's real. Go with the flow, trust your decisions, and they're clear. I know it's another obvious, it's not dirty water, it's clear. I remember being in Hawaii, and, you know, they have, well, it's an island, so anywhere you stop off the road, you just can walk to the ocean. Sometimes it's a little farther than other times, but once we were walking, and it was an obvious place, and there was nobody at that beach, and it was just a cove, and then there was a little mountain, and it just was beautiful. It was just like those postcards you see, and you look in the water, and most of the time, you can't see your feet. I know in L.A., I walk in the water, I can't see my feet. But here you could see the rocks. You could see if fish were coming. The water was warm. And you're walking in. Well, the more you walked in, because you could see, you would go deeper. Sometimes when you can't see, there's a little bit of a hesitance. But when you could see where you're going, and you can see the rocks, you can see what your feet are walking on, you tend to take yourself a lot farther in, which I did. And I was able to walk in because the water didn't go too deep too fast. I remember how far I was, and it was still just like in the middle of my waist. And they don't have these hard waves coming in, or at least not that day. But when you can see the water's clear, it's not dirty, it's not cloudy, you tend to go deeper and farther in because you trust your surroundings a little bit more. So for that few sentences, there's a lot behind it. So just, you know, trust what you're doing. Don't go counterintuitive, like the quote, hold opposite way, like, I know I should turn right. I want to turn right, but what's on the left side? And then you go, it's going to bring you right back to the right side. It's going to keep you in the flow, and you will see where you're going. You will trust your decision. So, God, I'm curious what. So write us and let us know, Vicki. Thank you. So I have a question. There was a post I posted the other day called Hold Off Making Decisions When You Are Most Vulnerable and Give Yourself Time to Heal. I think that's probably one of the most defining things I wrote all week because, you know, I'm obviously we always are going through things and I'm going through a lot of changes in a very short time. And it's like the flares are very obvious and I kind of know it. But now that I know it, I didn't know what to do with it because I did respond in a period of vulnerability to some of the situations in my life. And now that I realize that, it's like not only did I respond, just like Vicki was having dreams of water, I kept having these very obvious signs come at me from the outside. But because there was still a bond in my heart to this situation, I couldn't let go of it right away. And so I kind of, you know, I did actually let go of it, and I suffered through the pain of not being part of it. But then I went back to it to revisit it because I wanted to, like, see why is there this bond? And then I found out, okay, I understand the bond. I understand the bond. But then God said, yep, you do, but you know what? I'm going to throw an even bigger situation at you to see if you understand why you don't belong there and you want to. And boy, I got one. I got the tidal wave this time. And I get it. Finally, that bond went where it belonged. Not inside of me, but went where it belonged. And it wasn't easy to admit to myself because, you know, I have this thing in me that wants to take care of everybody. And I had to learn that some people have to take care of themselves and they're not what I think they are. And it doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they're not what they're representing. And it's never easy. I have to say never, never easy. So when you're vulnerable, that saying, there's an Arabic saying, and it just kept smacking me in the head this week. And it just kept saying, it's like the starving soul will get full on the peel of an onion. And pretty much that's me when it comes to the whole money situation and over again. And I realize I'm supposed to be in that situation because most of our world is in that situation. So I had to learn it. And I always think it's going to be over. And then there's one more facet that I need to be shown. And apparently there's a lot of just, I want to say dichotomies in our world. There's some people that if you give them $100, it will change their entire week with their entire family. And we have to be conscious of that. it's weird. It's like I'm visiting this world, because in my whole life until I've seen Christ, I have never, the money wasn't even on a table for me to think about. It was just worked at it, no big deal. My parents made great money when we were kids. I had a great childhood. I mean, it was tough, the cultural side, but as far as like life went, never even saw the things that I'm having to walk into and experience, because I have to know who we're talking to. But it had another side to it, and that other side also told me, it taught me about the different kinds of people who also have money, and the stresses that they feel and the challenges that they feel, because everybody's here for something. Nobody's here for a free ride. Nobody's got a sled that just goes through snow with no bumps. It's going to hit a bump. Doesn't mean it's bad, but it's really interesting how the different levels, and it's amazing because I'm in anywhere from multimillionaire homes in 1 week to, you know, someone's home who needs the $100, and I understand both, and I love both, and I get it. Finally, I get what lives beneath all of that. What I've learned is actually what money has given us, but what it's done to us, towards each other. And how at the end of the day, when Christ said before, you know, he says some crazy things, and then it takes me a while to learn them. One is like, sex is not physical. Okay, but once you grow and experience, you realize that's true. And the other thing is, it's never about the money. Never, ever has been. It's about the generosity. Because I know people have helped me. And Christ told me to stop saying people have helped me and to start saying people have empowered me. But I also, even in the times when I've had the least money, have, and I'm going to use my new word, empowered people. There were times I did not pay my own rent to pay somebody else's rent. I don't know why I did it, but I couldn't take it. I couldn't take watching them suffer. And even if I gave them a week or two of relief, because I knew the feeling, had I not gone through it myself, I would not have known the feeling. I would have said, oh, you know, Godspeed, or, you know, go do this or do that or whatever, but I couldn't. That compassion is what it was about. The money comes and goes. We live. But it's compassion. It's people coming to people. So holding off on making decisions when you're most vulnerable, that you know maybe might not be good for you, and you do them. There's also great decisions that we make when we feel vulnerable. But the important thing is that it heals. If you feel yourself healing, you know that you're doing something that's good for your soul. If you feel a pressure to make a decision, or somebody will not be happy with you, or you're not sure why you're there, or whatever it is, you know, trust that feeling and explore that feeling. Why don't I trust I'm there? Why don't I feel completely comfortable? Something's missing. Why do I feel alien here? Well, you feel alien there because it's just not the right place for you. Doesn't mean it's the wrong place and those people are wrong. It just means it's not where you belong. Pay attention to that vulnerability you feel in certain places, because you don't feel it everywhere. There's so much that has come to light. I didn't even get to the question someone asked, but that's okay for right now, because there's something about this conversation. It's so easy. We're in a world where it's easy to bash someone and talk about them and, yeah, well, you know, so-and-so, and, you know, you don't really know who these people are and you whatever. Well, then kind of you do. Everyone's the same, and then everyone's different, and then everyone's the same again. But we've become, like, we criminalize other people. And yet, if someone were to talk about you like that, you wouldn't recognize it. But there's something really huge happening, and I'm learning it bit by bit by bit, is respect for other people's souls. You know, they have a soul. And we forget, because we're so caught up in the rush of this world, all the crazy things we're hearing, crazy things that are happening, and people who have agendas, people who are predatory on other people and whatever is going on. And yet if you don't hear it, it's not happening. So pay attention to what you decide to listen to. Pay attention to what you decide to do. Because when we say we want to change the world, which is, you know, a small sentence, a big job, the world changes when we change. We don't change it from the top down. Okay, we're all going to do this now. It doesn't work like that. The world changes the minute you change. The minute you say, hey, you know what? I'm here for about 75, 80, 90 years. What do I want to do? How do I want to be of service to myself? Well, I'm here because I'm here. I took the time to come. Yeah, there's a lot I don't like. So let me see. What can I do here and here and here? And how can I help other people? How can I help myself? If I'm nervous or anxious or fear my future or every little myopic thing is bothering me, I'm going to question myself. Ask yourself why. Because that is why you're here. Nobody's here to save the world. God's got that covered. You don't have to do that. There's a lot God already has covered. The weather, the oceans, all of that, that's covered. You don't need to do that. It will constantly self-propel and self-cleanse and self-clean and self-take care of. But we all have causes and we all have desires and we all came here to touch something, to build awareness. But you got to hop on your wagon before you can hop on someone else's and help out. Minute you know that you can take care of yourself in any given situation, now you are an asset to that situation you have. And in this past week, because of, we call it, I always call it now the little catalyst, but money. I have been going to a lot of people. I have the foundation is starting, and I got all this stuff to do and people to talk to. And I have known people for years that I have met this week with. And they're literally in their, you know, middle 70s to 90 years old. And, you know, they're at a point in their lives where they say, hey, you know what? I want to give back to the world, and you know, we're talking about how and all of this business. So these are people I've known for 10 years or more, at least. And in that time, again, never about the money, all of the sudden, I'm sitting there, and there are confessions coming out. And I'm amazed at the things that I was told, because they completely contradicted the image that was in front of me. And the whole time I've known these people. But I never really knew them younger. And it gave me such a compassion and respect, renewed respect for all of us at the age we're in right now, body of work that we are creating. I had one woman, 88 years old, and when she was in her early 30s, she tried to kill herself. Do you know? She doesn't have Alzheimer's. She drives and she's all over the place. She did not even remember it until she saw a movie last week about someone who was doing that, and she thought, oh my God, I did that in my life. Almost like it was this long, far distant memory. But she literally, you know, at that time, people didn't think about how they were going to do it, and she slit her wrists. And her husband, now ex-husband from that time, found her. They took her to the hospital. She was under the care of a psychiatrist. She was distraught that they were going to get divorced. She doesn't remember any of the details, but she does remember them telling her they'll never put it on her record. That was like a big deal in that time. They covered up people who tried to do that, and she was able to work after that, and she built a whole different life, got married. She's been married now for 40 years to someone else, you know, and life has changed. But listening to these stories, even to the point of not remembering, she remembers a light, she remembers a tunnel, but that's all she's seen, and she felt gypped. She said, wow, other people get to see the other side. I didn't see the other side. And I said, well, you weren't supposed to leave. And she goes, well, that I understand. And I said, but it's time to forgive yourself for all these things that have happened. And you know, when people tell me, I don't know why I didn't think of this, and then all of a sudden I'm sitting in front of them, I know why they thought of it, and there's a healing that happens. Because the vulnerabilities we have, all they need is our healing, our participation. So it just like really took me on another path dealing with the human soul. Because the human soul somehow, it's crying out for conversations. It's crying out for love between us. We have become so gadgeted and so virtual that sometimes we forget we need each other. So I'm working with people I said, all I want to do is speak. I don't want to do anything else. Christ, I already know what Christ told me. I already know what I have to do, and I have to speak, and I have to be in front of people. I could do a video and probably we're gonna, you know, I could do a few things, probably we're gonna. And then somebody asked me, who's totally unrelated initially to my work or me, and they asked me, did you ever interview with the girl you saw Christ with? I thought, no. I never did, never even thought of it. I never thought she'd want to or whatever. So I called her. I said, hey, would you do this? She said, are you kidding? Of course I would. And I thought, imagine, her story is going to be completely different than mine because she was witnessing it and I was going through it. It was two different perspectives. So we're going to do that. But that's how much we need each other. People see other things. And we forget that us communicating, that bouncing of ideas, like, hey, you know, you could just do it like this in the experiences that we have that maybe the other person didn't have. It's just so, just we need each other. Listening to these people confess, they just had no one around them to talk to. And stuff that happened 50 years ago, in some cases, you know, 50, that they've lived with these things. And all of a sudden, there's this opportunity. Wow, I got a live person in front of me. And the relief and the beauty and the laughing and the crying and all of it. They used to have a saying that the best therapy is a best friend. Or a good friend or a trusted friend. It all comes together in the love. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I just remembered it now, and I hope I can find it. But I was just thinking, because this whole thing between love and money, because people are choosing money over love. And they're not happy with it, but they just don't know it yet. And this is what Christ said. He said, love moves things the way money does. Love moves life the way money does. It's just that we don't give the love part any attention. And so the love is starved. And we're starving. And we know it. But we don't know where to find it. We just don't know where it is. It looks like this and it looks like this, but it's a bunch of different masks. And so we're like picking up the mask and looking under it over and over again. And then Christ said, like love, money tells the truth. And I thought, you know, when we really, you know, feel love, we're the most honest we ever could be. And if you follow the money, you find the truth. Sometimes you have to follow it. You have to say, okay, they said that this was embezzled. Well, okay, and you try to go back through the whole thing and find out who did it or whatever. But the money will always tell the truth too, because the money's just a catalyst. It's just an example of who a person is and why they are that way. It's one of the most interesting, captivating topics I have had this whole week. And every single person, independent of the other person, I have seen in this week. I cannot believe how many people I've seen or called me. I didn't even call them. And yet, that's what went on almost every single day. And will continue this day because I'm already booked solid today. Because this topic of love is ready to explode. It's been ignored for such a long time that it's amazing me in all the different ways it's coming up. Pay attention to your life. Follow the love. Follow where you feel best. Stay there and see what happens. Ask yourself, what do I love most in life? And am I doing it? And if you're not, find a way to be there. When someone talks to you, listen. Listen as much as you can. They have so much to say, and we are so fascinating. Now that we've seen so much reality TV and all this reality this and that, real people became way more interesting, and that now has become like a staged chatter in the back of our heads. You guys, have a great weekend. I'm sorry I didn't get questions, but I will hopefully next week. I love you. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.